and welcome to Subspace with His Little Sophie. I'm Sophie, your effervescent hostess. This is a podcast for subbies by a subbie. This show covers things from the mundane to the sexually charged. So sit back, relax, and join the show. Today's show is going to cover total power exchanges. My definition of total power exchange is where you have a couple and one person in the relationship has a percentage of control and the other person has a lesser percentage of control. Now, the dominant person can have all the control and the submissive have none of the control, or they mix it up, you know, maybe 60-40. Some even do 50-50. All I can tell you, I'm an expert on my particular relationship. So, you know, there's no right or wrong way to do a total power exchange. It just basically how each couple creates their environment. Now, for there to be a total power exchange, an exchange of power does have to happen. And, you know, some will argue that point. You know, it's called a power exchange because there is an exchange of power. You can't have 50-50 because then no one is exchanging power. Technically, that's true, but I've found that there's a whole continuum of total power exchanges. And basically, you have to kind of find the one that works for you. Many dominants will say their power exchange, they give their slave or their submissive a fair amount of control of their mundane lives because they don't want to micromanage. Micromanaging, for those of you who are new to the lifestyle, it's basically when they tell you when to eat, when to sleep, when to get up, where to go, you know, they tell you every little thing. But in some dominants and some submissives do not like that. So they kind of work around that, put a clause in their relationship where that says you can do this on your own, you can make decisions for yourself when this happens, etc. In my particular situation, see, I started out as Gorian, so I had the idea in my mind planted firmly that I'm my master's property, and basically that he will do what's best for me, and he happens to like micromanaging. And he's made allowances for some things, but in general, he doesn't mind the micromanagement at all. He just takes that as his duty. Master doesn't feel like it's a lot of work overall. He feels that there is some work involved in the beginning. When you first get your submissive or your slave, he feels that both people should sit down and define their protocol, their rules, and their rituals, you know, and then it doesn't take much time after that. By protocol, I'm using this word to mean how a submissive or a slave is to act at home in the community and in the vanilla world. I use the word rituals to describe the things that a submissive or a slave must do each day or have a very good reason why it didn't get done. And I'm using the term rules to define the set of things that is allowed or not allowed in that household. So it's very important to define the way you use terms because many people in the lifestyle use the terms differently. So I just wanted to be clear on what my stance was so that, you know, you can follow me along in the podcast. Basically, Master and I first sat down and created a list of things that we expected from each other. He wrote down what he expected in a slave, and I wrote down what I expected in a master. We gave that list to each other, and then we asked each other if it was an unreasonable expectation. You know, we said, is this list of things unreasonable for you as a person? And we both either said yes or no, or we went down a list and we said, no, this is great, but this, or, you know, you tweak it. Basically, what was interesting for us is that our lists were almost the same. It's like, I guess we had spent so much time together in the past, or I don't know, we just kind of gel so much that we kind of know what we wanted from a partner, and we basically had the same ideals. That was pretty great. Like I said, I was trained as Gorian. The first dominant that I was in a relationship was very Gorian, basically. So I got used to a high standard of protocol, a lot of rituals and rules. And that was fine with me. I enjoy that. That's something I guess people become, they may become attached to the first person that trained them or the way of life in which they were trained. But for me, that's the thing that brought me into the MS world is being Gorian. And it took me a very long time to kind of settle down a little bit because my master now is not Gorian, but he understands that I enjoy a high level of protocol, rules, and rituals. So we sat down and we made sure that we had a list of expectations and we shared it with each other so that we were both on the same page. It's really good to do this when you're first starting out. And it's also good to do it periodically or when, you know, you kind of lose your way. Because sometimes bad behavior can build up and control can break down. And then the power exchange sort of shifts. So, and sometimes if a dominant doesn't address those issues or the couple doesn't address those issues right away, the power exchange can shift. So sometimes the power exchange shifts and couples kind of get out of their protocol rituals and routines or rules and things kind of get askewy. They kind of go astray. So then that would be a good time to sit down and write up your expectations again and share them with each other. Now, I would like to take this opportunity to share some of the expectations that Master and I shared with each other. I have his permission to share this, and I'll do this because I remember when I first started out, when I first came into a total power exchange, I was basically a noob, so, and I didn't know anything. It's little podcasts like these, and people take the time to share what they know that helped me along the way, so I wanted to kind of give back in that way. This is what my master said he expected of me. He said, "I expect my slave to follow the things below unless she uses her safe word." Now, I want to stop and say that, yes, I do have a safe word. In all this time, I have never used my safe word. I came from a relationship where there were no safe words. So I'm not used to really using a safe word. I think that if you choose your person wisely, if you guys communicate a lot, he can kind of know, you know, you discuss what your heart limits are in the beginning. But once you discuss those, I don't think that you don't have to use your safe word all the time. Because I think that people can use their safe word just to as an excuse sometimes. Many will probably disagree with me there, but I think that there are some people that will use it just when the going gets tough. For example, I don't. My master knows me. For instance, we're in play and I'm being flogged and it's sometimes a game. Sometimes he will try to make me use my safe word. But I don't know how we kind of get that little thing together, but he knows, you know, he knows when to take it down. He can read my body language and everything. And he kind of knows when to tone it down. Yeah, when he's stretching the limit of what I think I can take, yeah, I want to scream out. But then there's something inside of me that I just don't, or I don't know, I go to the happy place. So yeah, there's times when he challenges me and we stretch a little bit, but he knows me as an individual. So he knows that there are what my heart limits are. And I really have not had to use safe words because of that. But he did say, "I expect my slave to follow things below unless she uses her safe word." Number one, I expect her to follow any and all rules that I set for her. Number two, I expect her to achieve any and all goals that I set for her. Number three, I expect her to actively and independently act to please me without direct instruction. So he doesn't go, "Please me, Simone." You know, he expects me to seek and desire to please him and take his pleasure into consideration in everything that I do. I expect her to be polite with myself and others. Number five, I expect her to clearly discuss any feelings or issues she may have with me. And finally, number six, I expect her to suffer the punishments I assign to her for failing to do the above. I didn't find his set of expectations unreasonable. I actually found them pretty basic. You know, it was pretty straightforward, pretty clear cut. I mean, the way that I was trained, I'm like, he's not a hard taskmaster at all. Yahoo! Whatever he decides is fine. And if it's not fine, it's still fine. You know what I mean? There are times when, you know, of course, he's off the mark. But it's those times that I go to him and I say, you know, "Master, may your girl please discuss this with you." And he listens. He makes his own decision, but he does take into consideration what I had to say. Next, I want to share what I wrote. And like, once again, I do have his permission to share these. And so that's why I'm sharing them. I said, number one, I expect my master to continue to learn and grow in the lifestyle. I expect this by seeing him read some sort of dominant, submissive, master-slave, or BDSM related materials that's not fiction. Number two, make it a point and a habit to see that we get out in the community to places where he can learn new techniques. Number three, I expect him to participate actively and not just lurking in online forums and conversations with the same level of dedication that he would any other interest. Number four, as a slave, I expect my master to be consistent. Number five, I expect my master to know what he wants and what he doesn't want. Number six, I expect my master to know what he will accept and what he will not accept. Number seven, I expect my master to set up a protocol and abide by it. Number 10, I expect my master to have a mechanism where I can voice my opinions and thoughts and get a rationale when I need one. And finally, I expect my master to keep his promises. Now, these are the things that I would expect from any master, not just this one. So these are, when I think of what a master is in my mind and what I'm used to, these are the things that I think a master should do. Now, just because I'm a slave doesn't mean that I'm mindless or I'm a dummy. I'm not, as we said, you know, I'm very well educated. I read, I study. I'm not by any shot a little sheep or lamb. But these are the things that I need to get me and keep me in my headspace. Now, that's a whole nother argument and a whole nother discussion for another time where someone will say, well, you know, how can you stay in your headspace? It's unreasonable for a person to stay in their headspace 24/7 all the time. That's what rituals and rules and routines are for, so that you get this trained into your submissive or your slave, and it becomes a second nature. It becomes a habit to them, so that this is maintained with a minimal amount of effort and only takes some redirection or reinstruction when necessary to fine-tune it. Now, also, I suspect, I'm not going to speak for my master because he didn't share this particular thing with me, but I assume that his idea of what a slave should do is tied also into what he wrote down. So I think it's a very good thing when you are entering into or are in a total power exchange relationship to have a definite definition of what a total power exchange means to you, and also share that with your dominant and have your dominant share with you what their expectations and what their definitions are, so that you guys are on the same page and you enter into it both with the same knowledge and the same definition. For instance, I'm from Florida and Master is originally from Canada. We use words differently. Our definitions are the same. And one thing that we like to do is we stop and we say, okay, I'm using this word to describe this. And he says, I'm using this word to describe that. And we're like, ah, no wonder we have a breakdown in communication, because, oh, we're not using the word the same. So it's a really good idea to sit down and have that communication when you're first going to enter into the total power exchange. Even if you guys were online and you were doing a total power exchange, it's a totally different ballgame when you're actually going to be living in each other's faces. We went from online to being married and living in the same house. My heart did not change, but the implementation, because then you have tiredness come in. And that's an issue with the slave or the submissive, you know. What are you going to do when you don't feel like serving? Because there will be days. There will be times when you are so tired, but you have to also realize, okay, am I really, really tired, or am I being lazy? Total power exchanges take some setting up and establishment of rituals, rules, and routines, and communication. That will be all today. I welcome any feedback, emails, or anything you want to share with me. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to Subspace with His Little Sophie. Please join us next time when we'll be talking about protocol.